Michelle, the Bathtub Mermaid, and this is my Dog Days of Podcasting 2014 entry, episode number 13. I need something to hold. I feel deluded, as once again I am eluded, and everything is left unconcluded. I need something to hold. So, 10 years ago, this week was the first weekend that my husband and I came to Texas to look at houses. I was going to give you guys this whole podcast tonight on why I am now an evangelist for the TV show Defiance, even though I don't play the game. My husband does. But I'm really tired, and I blew a deadline on some lines for an audio drama that were due yesterday that I thought weren't due till tomorrow, and I haven't been able to record for the last 2 weeks because we're still wrangling the new puppy, and we had all the contractors here, and so it's just, my life is chaos. But instead, I went to the Wayback Machine because I'm too lazy to dig through my own archives, and I found the blog entry I wrote about a year ago when we were coming here to Texas to look at houses. Now, we moved to Texas from the Bay Area of California. When you are shopping below $1 million in the Bay Area of California, you pretty much have whatever two options you can afford, and you get in a bidding war. At least you were 10 years ago, that's how it worked. Here, even before we arrived, I had been on Realtor.com because Zillow didn't exist yet, and I had already weeded out millions and millions of houses because there was so much in the price range that we were looking for. And by the time we actually got here, I had a list of 26 houses that I wanted to look at over the course of 2 days. It's doable, I swear. Partly we were just really curious to see how many of these houses really stacked up and really didn't. We went to the local Coldwell Banker or Remax, I don't even remember. But we went to a realtor that a blog friend of mine who lives in Fort Worth had recommended. And she recommended someone from her same company who was in Plano, because we looked at some houses in mid-cities and Fort Worth and some houses in Dallas, North Dallas, and Plano. And so we had to have two realtors because they don't cover all the same territory because it's a lot of miles. I will confess that before I moved here, I thought Plano was pronounced Plano because I'm used to people saying Spanish-like words with Spanish-like inflections. It took me forever to be able to say Alvarado and not Alvarado. So, yeah. Anyway, we didn't look at 26 houses in 2 days, but we looked at a lot of houses. We sat down with each realtor the first day we met with each of them and said, this is our list. And they said, this is our list, based on what you said. And we immediately weeded out anything that didn't have our minor requirements. Like, if it didn't have a pool, I didn't even want to look at it. If it didn't have at least 3 bedrooms, I didn't want to look at it because I was working from home and Fuzzy is a gamer and we don't share space well when it comes to computers and things like that. So we needed to have a room to have our own space. So the first day was the Dallas and Plano and that side of everything that we looked at. And I have a list of some of the houses that we considered. And actually, any one of them I would have really, really liked. And sometimes, every once in a while, I wish we had moved to that side, but ultimately I think we made a good pick living in mid-cities in Grand Prairie. On the second day, we met with the actual recommended realtor and did the Fort Worth side of town, and also Arlington and Grand Prairie. And when we were looking in Fort Worth, we looked at a house that I now refer to as the second best little whorehouse in Texas. And this is the blog post I wrote about it. She answered the door even as our realtor was fiddling with the electronic super key, squealing in delight and then explaining she was happy to see us and was opening the door to let us in and then leaving. Take as long as y'all want, sugar, she told me in her thick voice. Just lock up before y'all leave. We had seen pictures of the house, so cute and charming from the outside, but we waited until she had left, taking her hair, taking her hair, nails, and lips, all of which had been tinted the same color as the dark cherrywood floors with her, before we looked further than the entry. On the net, the house was charming. Gas lampposts in a woodsy front yard, cute brick house, lovely pool. We'd seen the frou-frou decor, but nothing prepared us for the reality. Everything was mauve and crushed velvet, gilt and lace, and cherry wood and crystals. Chair rail to ceiling mirrors filled the entry wall and the opposing wall in the dining room. Faux mauve marbleized wallpaper covered the walls, and there was more swag than anyone ever needed. Scarlett O'Hara could have clothed the entire cast of Gandhi with the amount of fabric that was draped on the windows and had more to spare. The kitchen was nice. Blue, gray, mauve tile and counters. The rooms were nice. Master and study down. Game room over the garage with a wet bar and a pool table, of course. Four more bedrooms upstairs, each with its own wrought iron bed right out of a bad Western movie brothel. Each with its own special niche and altar to Our Lady of Perpetual Frou-Frou. The realtor whispered, "All the window coverings stay," and I stared at her and asked, my voice trembling, "Dear God, do they have to?" My blog post that I wrote does not begin to cover how much it was obvious that if this house wasn't an actual brothel, it totally should have been, because each of those four bedrooms with the wrought iron beds also had a pitcher and a bowl, so you had a wash basin and a little marble settee, and everything was chintz and frou-frou and gold suede swaggy curtains on everything, and the bathroom was tile and mauve and blue, and then the downstairs rooms, only the study and the room above the garage had any sense of masculinity whatsoever. Outside, in the backyard, it had been set up so that the pool was surrounded by a little, like a strolling garden. I want you to imagine wrought iron fences with little lampposts in them tucked in this serene wooded setting. And under each lamppost there was a little heart-shaped iron bench. I mean, seriously, it was like this is where the gentlemen callers would take the girls before they went upstairs. I have no idea who bought this house. I really, really hope that they negotiated for a lot of credit in things like replacing wallpaper and tiles, because I like cherry, I really do. But this wasn't like the warm cherry that looks almost like pear wood. This was that stained dark cherry that's like chocolate cherry, but in wood. And it was everything. It was everything. Also, the hallways were really, really tiny. That weekend, however, was also the same weekend that we saw the house that we're currently living in. And it was actually, by the end of the weekend, it was our second choice. The first one, ironically, was around the corner from us, and in the same general subdivision, but not the same phase of the same subdivision, on a street called Starbridge, which is around the corner from the local library. I was honestly enamored with the name Starbridge because it sounded like a neat place to live, but and the house was huge. It had five bedrooms upstairs, including a master suite with a sunken tub. The back porch had, and the pool was small, but the back porch had, it was covered and had like ceiling fans in the patio, and there was a formal living room, a formal dining room, and a study on the first floor, and the actual den, the not formal living room, also had a wet bar. And when I commented on that, our realtor basically said, "Honey, this is Texas. If it doesn't have a pool table and a wet bar, you can't sell it," which I thought was funny. But it didn't have a pool table, so there was hope, because almost every place we looked was like, "Oh yeah, we have a pool table. It stays at the house," which would be awesome, except that A, I don't play pool, and B, even if I did play pool, I don't really want a pool table in my house. I like my rooms to be able to be used for lots of things, not just one thing. So we looked at that one, and that was actually our favorite, and this house that we're in now, which is slightly smaller, it doesn't have a formal living room, and it doesn't have, and it only has four bedrooms upstairs. I know I'm saying only. There are only for the first 9 years we lived here, there were only two adults who lived here permanently. My internet friend Sage, for whom I did a lot of audio improv and various other things, used to tease me about the fact that I have a 2,500 square foot house for two adults and a myriad of dogs. But when my parents come to visit from Mexico, they spend like 3 weeks here, and we always have stuff going on, and we both work from home. So two of those bedrooms are turned over into offices. Right now we have a temporary housemate who is one of Chris's college friends, but the point is, it was exactly a year ago that we looked at this house, and we actually came back 3 weeks later after selling our house in California, and we're ready to make an offer on Starbridge, and it had gone into escrow like the day before. I was really upset, and she was like, "You can wait, you can see what happens." And we'd only been in the corporate apartment that we were renting for like a week, and I was already going, "You know what, right now I have to climb three flights of open stairs to take my dogs out or back in from the lawn, and the carpets there are all white, and it's an apartment, and they have rules where you can't light candles, and it's ridiculous, and I am just not an apartment person. I haven't been in a very long time, so I don't want to wait." So our second pick had actually come down $10,000 in price. And I said, "I have no problem with the price, but I want 1% in closing costs, and I want them to leave all the appliances, and I want them to..." One of the things that was wrong was that the air ducts had to be blown, like the dryer ducts and everything, because they apparently never cleaned them in however long they lived here. And my realtor said, "They're not going to give you that." And I said, "Look, they've made it very clear that they're motivated to leave. We don't have a contingent offer because we've already sold our house. But I know that their offer is contingent, that they had to make a contingent offer on the house that they're moving to. So I'm pretty sure they're going to at least consider it." So, of course, you have to present all offers. It's what you do. So she did. And they came back and said, "Yes on the 1%, yes on the appliances, and yes on the air ducts, but we would like a 45-day escrow." And I said, "Okay, I'm not thrilled about that because I've only been in this apartment for a week and I'm already wanting to kill everybody I know. But as long as it's a finite amount of time, you can do anything." So, yes, I said, "We'll do it." And 45 days later, on October whatever, 14th, I think, we moved into this house where we have been for almost 10 years. It is the longest time in my entire life I have ever lived anywhere. And every 2 years, because I'm so used to the pattern of moving that often, I get really antsy. And actually, twice while we have been here, we thought that Chris's company was going to make us move again. Once it was to Florida, once it was to Colorado, and once it was a choice of Florida or Utah. And with his last promotion, one of the things he said was, "Look, you know, we'll move if you make us, but we really don't want to live in Florida because the weather sucks worse than Texas. And, you know, the houses that we would like to have, we can't afford or wouldn't be in a place where... or would be in a mandatory evacuation zone. And with our dogs, that just doesn't make sense." I actually didn't tell my husband this till after he had negotiated that we don't have to ever move unless we choose to, for work, that I would totally have moved to Utah because I spent 7 years in the mountains of Colorado as a kid, in Georgetown and Golden and places like that, and mountain towns are a really good place to live if you know what you want and aren't itching to go out and see the world. And the thing about where we would be living, it wasn't going to be in Salt Lake City. It was going to be about an hour away, about 15 minutes from Sundance. But still drivable to Salt Lake City, which is a major city. So it has all those cosmopolitan things, and it's got a major airport, which is important. But we ultimately made the deal that we didn't have to move ever. So now, every once in a while, I go, "Okay, I understand that we don't have to move for your company, but don't you want to move to Scotland?" And he goes, "Not really." I keep trying. It never works, but I keep trying. I joke because the three times that we have bought and sold houses have always been around my birthday, that other women get flowers and chocolate and I get real estate. But honestly, most of the time I'd rather have the flowers and the chocolate. And my best birthday ever was actually a benefit that we went to at one of the mountain wineries in Los Gatos, California. It was my 30th birthday, and it was a benefit for an ecological thing. And the performers were Peter, Paul, and Mary, who I'd grown up with. And it was really special for me because there was a dinner, and then there was the concert. And I'm really short. I'm 5 feet tall, exactly. So, and it wasn't raked seating. It was just, you know, folding chairs in the middle of a courtyard, basically. And I was a little miffed because the person ahead of me, directly in front of me, was a really, really tall guy. And every time I moved to try to look between him, he would, like, shift the same way. And it was really starting to piss me off. And then they sang Puff the Magic Dragon. And really tall guy in front of me was with a young woman who was clearly his daughter. And at one point, he looked at her and touched her hand, and I saw that he was crying. And then I was like, you can't be mad at someone who's crying during Puff. It's just, you can't. So then after that, we went to their reception, and Mary Travers was really sick. That had just gotten over being really, really sick and was still not feeling well. So she left the reception after basically greeting everyone and saying, thanks for coming, and I'm going to bail. And we ended up sharing it a very close proximity to the chocolate-covered strawberries with Peter Yarrow. And, you know, he made sure he talked to everybody, and I said, you know, I grew up hearing your music. My parents are activists. My mom started the first Amnesty International chapter in Modesto, California, and I grew up being involved in politics and hearing your music. And even though we've never met, I've been to rallies where you guys have performed. And we talked about that. And then I said, oh, and by the way, I'm here tonight because you are my birthday present. And he was like, oh, it's your birthday. And he made the entire room sing happy birthday to me. Best experience ever. We didn't have a camera. It was the year 2000. Nobody had phones with cameras. Well, some people had phones with cameras, but it wasn't the ubiquitous thing it is now. And it hadn't occurred to me to bring a camera because I don't bring cameras to concerts typically. So somebody there who worked actually for the organization being benefited said, give me your email address. I'll take a picture right now because you can't not have it. And they did. And we made a lovely donation to their group as a thank you. And I have talked for 18 minutes when this is supposed to be only a quick and dirty thing so I can go to bed because I have to be on the road by 8 a.m. tomorrow to take my Chihuahua, who is still mad at me for having him shorn last week, to get a dental. So he's probably never going to not look at me with the Chihuahua slitty-eyed look of doom again ever, but it needs to be done. Thanks for listening.
Steam is drifting into the night. It's cold outside.
This is Melissa Bartel, the Bathtub Mermaid, and show notes can be found at bathtubmermaid.com. The Dog Days of Podcasting feed can be found at dogdaysofpodcasting.com. Thanks for listening, and remember never to let your bath water get you cold.
Come on inside. I know how it feels, babe, to feel unclean. Most everybody knows to feel that stain so deep inside. And still it shows, but you can use my bathtub. Understand, you can use my bathtub. Yes, you can.